I'd like to open our main worship service together with you in prayer and to invite the Holy Spirit to come into this place as we worship, as we look at His Word. If you're able to kneel with me, let's do that this morning again to invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. Our kind, loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we are delighted for the opportunity that we have this morning to look at these ancient words that draw us closer to You, that change our life, that give us hope and a desire to continue to search for You as You have first come to search for us. Thank You, Father, for the gift of Your Son, for the work that He's doing on our behalf in the most holy place at this moment. Father, we ask and we invite for Your Spirit this morning to touch our hearts, to draw us closer to You. Lord, as we look at Your Word, as we ponder on the things that You would have us to do, we ask and we pray that You would speak in a mighty way, that You would reach each heart, and that You would guide us to the work, to the calling, to the mission that You have for each one of us. We pray and we ask for this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning we have an opportunity to look and see what have some of the biblical characters presented to us in the Word of God in terms of what their life was like and how their life relates to the life that we each experience today, 2023, many, many years later, right? Some of the stories that we read are maybe 2,000 years old, maybe some are even older than that. And yet, what do we draw, what do we conclude, what do we understand from the reading? This morning we heard our scripture found in John chapter 3. And as I ponder and as I look and as I try to understand the life of Nicodemus, what was his struggle? What was he doing? I can begin to draw conclusions and understand some of the similarities that I also struggle in my walk. And as he came to Jesus when? By night. I find myself coming to the Lord by night and praying and saying, Lord, what is that next thing that You would have me to do? Where is that next place that You would have me to go? How is it that I can be of service to You? And I understand that my usefulness is directly connected to my union with Jesus. I understand that as I begin to pray, as I begin to seek out to understand the steps that God would have me to take, that He's going to be right there with me, guiding me. He's going to show me the different things that I need to do, the steps that I need to take to reach that place. Well, it hasn't been so as I was growing up. And I have the understanding that Nicodemus had this intellectual understanding of who God was, but the relational aspect was missing. He was challenged by the fact that he knew so much about the Word of God, and yet the Messiah is there with him, and he says, how could these things be? How can a man be born again? How can this be? I don't understand this physically. And God is relating to him and talking to him about something that is spiritual, and yet Nicodemus hasn't been able to understand the spiritual thing. He has the intellectual knowledge, but he's challenged to understand how to apply it in a relational aspect. I found myself in 2015 quitting my job, leaving corporate America, leaving the comforts of life that I knew and understood for that time, the security that I had, to go in search of what this mission, this purpose, this calling would be for me. How would that look like in practical, day-to-day, everyday kind of a situation? Maybe some of you are thinking and asking yourself, well, what is the calling and purpose that God has for my life? What is it that I can do today with the skills and talents that God has blessed me with? Where can I go to contribute my talents? Well, it could be your next door neighbor. It could be in your apartment complex. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be at work. My struggle at work was that we had a zero religion policy. You couldn't share or speak about Jesus or God at work. It was against the policy. You could actually get fired. And yet, I thought to myself, well, what am I doing here then? If I can't really share about my faith, there's got to be something else that the Lord can bring my way. Coming to the United States from Ukraine, we actually came to this very church in 1992. And I remember coming into this grand sanctuary thinking to myself, wow, this is probably the biggest church I've ever seen. And we came from a small town in Ukraine, and we settled here in California. And I grew up kind of like Nicodemus, acquiring intellectual knowledge. Never left the church, never had a rebellious moment, never in my mind thought that maybe this wasn't for me. And yet I struggled to understand how I could be born again. Nicodemus was struggling with this situation in his life. He says, well, what else, Lord, can I do? The spirit of prophecy tells us that Nicodemus at one point in speaking to Christ was frustrated. I'm sure that some of you sitting here in this church sanctuary could at times say, well, I'm also at times frustrated because I don't understand, or maybe I'm not feeling like I'm going the direction that God wants me to go. And so I began to stumble through life, through teenage years, through college, figuring out this process of getting my education and figuring out who I wanted to be, where I wanted to be. And, you know, there were some distractions along the way. I found myself entertained by the variety of things that I saw my peers doing. Just here in downtown, there was a skate park that opened up. And that was a fun time to be able to go out and hang out with friends and roll around and do a variety of different things that would help me to understand maybe this is something that would bring fulfillment to my life. So I have church, I have Jesus, I have my everyday life, I'm struggling to develop my faith and to grow, and I'm praying as best as I know how and when I can. And where does all of this come together? It seems like there's a lot of different things happening, and yet I'm supposed to make sense of all these different things happening and changing in my life. And as I came across this text, the wind bloweth where it will, and thou hearest the sound thereof it, but you do not know where it comes from. And I said, yeah, that's a fair assumption. The wind, you hear it, you see it, it'll damage things, it'll let you know exactly where it is. But what happens? You don't know where it's coming from, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And the Bible says that everyone who is born of the Spirit is acting or somehow experiencing something similar to this phenomenon that we see of the wind. And this is something that Jesus is telling directly to Nicodemus. He says, look, this is what is happening. You're asking to be born again. You see the need. You're saying that there's something in your life that's missing. Here's the direction and pattern that I want you to go. I want you to have a change of heart. For someone in that status and that position and that environment of being respected and honored, having the best seats in the house, I think it was a pretty hard thing to swallow. What do you think? He was really perplexed. He was really struggling to understand, why is it that I'm having to go through this process of being refined? Why is it that I have to have this process of searching within? Well, that process came to me as well. And in the summer of 2015, I began to search and ask God that He would change the desires of my heart, that He would show me the direction that He would have me to go. And believe it or not, I have something in the mail that arrives that I had no idea was coming. And it was an envelope from Amazing Facts College of Evangelism. And they say that there's a few slots available that I should attend. And in my mind, I said, Lord, that's not for me. I'm not qualified to be an evangelist. I'm not qualified to go and share and teach and preach and these type of things, that's for somebody else. And as I put the envelope aside, a small voice inside of me says, well, wouldn't you want to consider praying about that before you make some kind of a decision like that, just to put that away? And so I began to pray, and just in a few short weeks, I found myself at the offices there of Amazing Facts applying to be one of the students. And really, that was the best decision that I made during that time of quitting my job, being kind of in limbo mode, not knowing the direction that was going to come my way next, and now being in a program that's intensively intense in studying the Word of God. Amen? As I study through, as we finish, we are sent to Thailand to preach. Again, Lord, I'm not qualified to go to Thailand and to preach. I'm not an evangelist. And so in my mind, as many of you can relate, we begin to make excuses. We begin to say things to ourselves that we think is God's will for us, when in doubt it wasn't. And it was a time for me to step out in faith and to say, okay, Lord, maybe I can go and help someone in Thailand. Maybe I can say something encouraging. Maybe I can bring a soul to the understanding that there is a greater purpose in this life than just what meets the eye. And so that was a challenge that I said, Lord, I'm willing to do it. And as I look through the Bible, there are other Bible characters that have had similar experiences. You know, that they said, well, maybe it is God's will for me to do something different. Maybe it's time for me to step out of my comfort zone. Maybe it's time for me to go do something that is radical for Christ, that is not common, that is not done by other people around me. And so, as I wrestled in my mind, the things that I enjoyed, the things that were common to me, the time spent at the skate park, I was wrestling with the idea, maybe I should do something different with my life. Maybe I should invest myself to go and be someone that can share the gospel with others. What a radical idea, right? I think every one of us are called to do something similar to that, and yet we question that idea in our minds. We say, well, maybe it isn't. Well, maybe it is. Well, you see, the problem is when something that you like and enjoy is not yet fulfilling, you start to look for other things to kind of pass the time and to help you get through the day. And so I began to look for ways to go faster and to do different things, and the next distraction came, and the next distraction came, and I found myself on the racetrack spending all of my time and energy and money chasing after this thing called adrenaline. And yet in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, there's got to be something that I can still do for the Lord. And I came across this book written by Melody Mason, and she talks about the prayer life that we ought to have, the things that we ought to be praying for, the bigger prayers that we should be praying. And so I began to do that. I began to say, Lord, I need to start doing that. I came across the time of Moses when he was praying. And his prayer began to speak to me in a different way. I've read it before. It's in Exodus chapter 33, but I didn't really connect with it as I did this time. Father, you have called me by name, and you tell me that I have found favor with you. If this is really so, show me your intentions so that I will understand you more fully and do exactly what you want me to do. The Lord responds to Moses and says, I will go with you personally. Moses says back to the Lord, he says, if you do not go with us, don't let us move another step from this place. And I thought to myself, wow, that is so specific, that is so intentional, that is so on point to what Moses needed at that point to lead the children into the wilderness and then on. And I said, wow, Lord, let me practice this. Let me see if this can work for me. And so I began to pray as Moses prays. And I began to say, Lord, I want you to go with me each and every step. I want you to direct me, and don't let me go by myself. Go with me, go ahead of me, guide me in the way you would have me to go. And so I want to highlight a few things with you to show you what is it that God would have each one of us to do as we pray, as we seek to connect with the Lord. Jesus, take my heart and keep it. That was one prayer that I was praying. Another prayer that I was praying, I was saying, Lord, continue to change the desires of my heart. Lord, show me where you would have me to go. What is it that I can do today? What is it I can do in my time of prayer to connect with you, to understand the steps that you would have me to take? Coming back from Thailand, I was again in the valley of decision. Where do I go? What do I do? How do I begin to exercise the things that I learned? AFCO was so rapid fire. Study the Bible, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. How do I apply this now? How do I share with others what I've learned? I'm excited about sharing the gospel. I've seen what has happened in Thailand. People have come and committed their lives to the Lord. People have found true joy and happiness. They have been freed from bondage. They have been set at liberty to understand that there's more to life than what they've been taught previously. And now they're making a conscious decision to lead themselves and their families to worship the true God. And I said, Lord, how can I be a part of that? That is just incredible. Now, I told you I enjoyed adrenaline and that I had a need for speed. Well, let me tell you, when I was on stage in Thailand preaching the gospel, and I began to see, as the appeal was made, people coming to the front, getting ready to make a public statement in front of hundreds of other people in that village, that they're ready to join God's remnant church, my heart never beat so fast. I never had so much joy and excitement in my life, thinking like, wow, look what is happening here. And the question still rises to me, Lord, how can I be involved in this work? I'm not qualified for this. And so I began to slowly understand that my qualifications really don't matter. At that moment in time, it doesn't really matter. They are hearing the voice of God speaking to them personally. They are making that public statement to come to the front, to surrender their life to God. All I can say is, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen? And so the journey begins as I arrive in California and I am asking God for direction for the next step. And He leads me to a Bible verse in Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 12, that then highlights and describes to me the work that I am to do. To go forth and to build the waste places, to restore the paths to dwell in, and to be the repairer of the breach. And I said, Lord, that sure is a high calling. That is a lot there packed in that verse. And not only to restore the Sabbath truth, not only to restore God's remnant message, but also to be the repairer of our churches and our schools and our institutions that could then further spread the gospel in more ways than they are able to now. And so, by God's grace, we've been privileged with the opportunity to go now and to serve in a variety of different countries and places around the world, and to take now over 5,000 volunteers with us, 111 mission projects, close to 40 different countries. To do what? To restore the breach, to repair the broken, to restore the facilities that can now continue to proclaim the gospel even greater volume than before. We just returned from a project in Peru where the Lord blessed and provided that we can now build a new church in one of the cities there in the mountains called Abancay. Far, far in the mountains. It took us a good 6 hours by bus to travel along the side of a cliff, and sometimes you have to close your eyes as the bus driver was making maneuvers around the corners, and then down into the valley where the city is. And it's incredible to see how hundreds of people came out to hear the gospel. We rented a facility there in the center of town, and every single night people would come. You could see them jump off the bus, you could see them come on a scooter, you could see them carpooling together as they came to hear the gospel. And as their hearts were warmed and touched, we would say to them, what is your desire to continue in searching the scriptures? And as we presented them for the very first time a copy of their own Bible, you would see this fresh joy in their eyes. You would see this excitement. Wow, I have for the very first time my very own copy of the Word of God. Many of us probably have 5 or 6 copies, maybe even 10. And there people in Peru were asking me, tugging me on my shirt here, saying, listen, can I get another copy for my friend? Can I get a copy for my husband? We don't have a Bible in our home. We really need a Bible in our home. And now can you imagine how this event begins to transform that community as Bibles are now reaching their homes, as Spirit of Prophecy books are being read for the very first time? Well, we encountered a problem. Many people were struggling to read because they couldn't see. And how did we know that that problem would be resolved? When just 3 months before leaving, we received a donation of 2 boxes of reading glasses. And we were able to put them in our suitcases, take them with us, and throughout the time of having our health expos there in Peru, we were able to fit over 350 people with reading glasses. And you say, well, who is the medical professional doing that? Well, it was everyday volunteers that came with us, that had training, that understood how to read the eye chart and then present the eye chart to the next patient and to understand the type of glasses that they needed to be able to see. There was a man, I won't forget this, there was a man running across the street to me, holding up a Bible, wearing his new glasses, and he says, I can read now, I can read. And you say to yourself, wow, what an incredible experience that this man is now able to read his Bible. His family is going to be transformed because he's reading his Bible. He's going to share with his family and his friends, his community. And so now, church after church is being transformed in Peru as we continue to serve the needs of those countries and communities there. Amen? Amen. Well, I continued to pray and I continued my journey to ask, Lord, what is the next thing that you would have me to do? In Matthew chapter 7, we find a principle that is exercised in our walk with the Lord as we begin to pray, as we begin to search and grow deeper with the Lord. There's a process of asking, seeking, and knocking. And I believe as believers, we do a really good job in asking. But then how about the next two pieces? How do we continue to seek? How do we continue to knock? Because I found myself doing this. I found myself forgetting the things that I've asked for, but only remembering them when I say, aha, Lord, you didn't answer that question, because look what happened. You didn't answer my question. But then do I ask myself and stop and think and say, well, did I follow through? As I begin to ask God for something, was I asking, seeking, and knocking as Matthew here is pointing out? Or did I kind of forget, things fizzled out, I got busy, and I just moved on and figured, well, maybe that prayer is just not going to get answered. And so I struggled with that a bit as I was learning how I would transition into full-time ministry, as I would understand how Jesus would point me in the right direction. I understood that this principle was going to be very important. To ask, to seek, and to knock. To look for opportunities. If you're praying for God to give you a divine appointment to meet with someone, to share the gospel, to have a Bible study, and then you pray it a couple of times, and then nothing really happens, and you forget, well, did you seek for an opportunity to find someone or ask someone for a Bible study? Well, did you maybe knock on some opportunities, on maybe a couple of doors, and say, you know, I'm here in the community. I'm excited about what the Bible is doing in my life. I want to share that with you. It's happened to me. It's helped me. Are you interested in seeing what the Bible can do for you? You see, as we begin to follow some of the biblical principles, the Bible promises that we find in scriptures, we begin to see a spiritual awakening take place. Many times people will ask me, well, what have you learned as a full-time missionary traveling from country to country, doing these various projects? What have you learned? What's your takeaway? What is the purpose and meaning of the work that you're doing? What has it shown in your life? And the thing that really stands out to me is that the amount of spiritual discernment that I have been able to see and understand in my life, I don't think I would have been able to do otherwise, being exposed to ministry, being out in the front lines doing these various projects. And it really comes with the time that we spend in prayer, the time that we spend serving the needs of other people, calling on the Lord on behalf of others, seeing how we can minister to the needs of people as we ask God to help us to do that. You know, when we were in Mexico just a few years ago, there was an opportunity to do a health expo, and we said, "Lord, we want to do that. How do we do it?" Well, the odds were against us. There was no facility available. The weatherman says a storm is coming. As a matter of fact, it's going to be a big storm. We're going to close down the schools to keep the children at home and keep them safe. This flash flood is coming to our town. Hide, cover, protect yourself, protect your families. And here we are. We arrive and we're ready to do mission work, and everybody's taking cover. What do we do? So we pray. We pray and we say, "Lord, what is the steps that you want us to take?" We meet with the city officials. We go to the mayor's office. We greet and meet. They say, "Well, you're welcome to use the zoo. Do you have anything else for us?" "No, we think you can use the zoo." And I said, "Wow, that's quite the facility. Well, we'll take it. We'll take it. We don't understand, but we'll take it." Believe it or not, Thursday comes, the clouds roll in, it's fairly dark. Monday we're going to be back home, we're leaving, so we got to make something of this. It's now Thursday, we only have a few days. Let's do it Friday, we'll do a health expo at the zoo, we'll set up, and the Lord will take care of the rest. We arrive, 9 o'clock in the morning, we set out our tables. It's pretty dark and windy outside, not a soul out on the streets. Well, believe it or not, about 40 minutes goes by. The clouds get pushed back. The sun comes out. And we're thinking like, "Wow, okay, maybe someone will come to the zoo." Well, now everyone that's at home has something that they have to do. They've got kids to take care of. And the kids are running around the house. And they're not supposed to be in school because schools are closed down because of this storm that's coming. So now parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles are all going to the zoo because it's a free day. And guess who's at the zoo? We are. And so now people are coming, we're meeting and greeting, and here comes Maria through the front doors of the zoo, and she says, "What is this?" "Well, it's a health expo. Come and learn about your health. Come get your blood pressure checked. Come get your glucose levels checked. We're here to serve and to help." And she says, "Well, how much is it?" "Well, it's for free, gratis, no charge." "Wow," she says, "this is incredible." Well, at the very end of our health expo is a small table with reading glasses. And Maria sees the glasses and she says, "Well, how much are the glasses?" "Well, they're free." Well, as we begin to talk, as we begin to share, she says, "You know, you're not going to believe this." And she begins to cry. She says, "Just a few days ago, I prayed and I asked God if He was real, that He would reveal Himself to me." And you know what Maria prayed for? She prayed specifically to God for a pair of glasses. Something that to us was maybe insignificant. We didn't understand. We thought this was something good that we could do. She saw the hand of God in her life. She saw an answer to prayer just a few days after she prayed. She received the steps to Christ. And as her grandkids were running around playing with the animals in the zoo, she was sitting there on the bench reading through the first few chapters of Steps to Christ. Amen. And it was incredible to see the joy that filled her heart as she began to read for the very first time. She said, "It's been years since I could read small print. Years." And to us, it was, you know, a box of glasses that was donated to us and that we could take with us to Mexico. And those small things really make a huge impact in the lives of people around us. And so as I said, "Lord, please continue to guide and draw me closer to you. Remove anything that's standing between you and I. Show me the steps that you would have me to take." I began to see that God was beginning to move our ministry in the direction of health, evangelism, and construction. And as the communities were coming together to do all those three things, we would invite the men that were unemployed to come help us to build. We would invite the community to come and support the project. We just saw revival in these communities. We saw people coming together. We saw missing church members come out and say, "Well, you're coming to help rebuild the church. I know I haven't been here for a while, but I want to help. I want to contribute. That's an incredible, incredible opportunity. David's prayer was also very near and dear to my heart, that I began to pray and say, Lord, search me. You know my heart. Search me. You know the things that I'm struggling with. Help me. And I know that as you begin to pray that same prayer, that you'll see incredible things take place. You'll see that the things that you used to enjoy will no longer be relevant. You'll see that the things that used to take and occupy your time will become irrelevant. And you'll be drawn to share the gospel with others. So what are the highlights for my prayer walk with the Lord? Pray that God would change the desires of your heart, that He would help you to fully surrender to Him, that He would keep you in the ways that He would have you to go, and He would direct you, and that He would remove anything that's standing between you and I. He says, Lord, there's got to be a way that I can navigate, and there's things that are in the way. Remove those things between you and I. Well, Isaiah has showed me that as I look to build and restore, as I look to help people in need, that God is doing something in my life as well. He's building and restoring me as a person. He's helping me to understand the steps that I ought to take in not only growing my faith, but also being able to share my faith with others. It's become more common, it's become more natural for me to say to someone that I don't know, look, this is what God is doing in my life. Look, this is what can happen in your life when you surrender your life to God. I have personally experienced this. The power, the transformative power of God has done this for me. Surely it will happen to you as well. And maybe even greater than you can imagine. Amen? I want to highlight just a few things that have taken place since the ministry has begun. This is our evangelistic series. It's very primitive. It's out on the field with a few sticks and a bamboo platform, and yet hundreds of people are drawn for what purpose? To hear the word of the Lord. To be inspired, to be encouraged, to see hope. We are visiting a camp in northern Thailand to work with the children there. Hundreds of children coming from the jungles to study. And our sister Helen Hun, who's there with Audra and others, is in charge of this school. And it's just incredible to see this woman's dedication. She's in her 70s, retired school teacher, left everything behind, and is teaching there in Thailand. Building a church in Mexico. Being able to travel and visit. This is in Colombia. We were in between Bogota and Medellin in a small village. These are children that we found on the streets roaming around. We brought some food and some literature, and just spending that time together with them, mingling, sharing hope, singing with the children, teaching them some songs. This is our medical team that came to help with vision, dental, different needs that people had. And that was their opportunity to share, to minister to their needs. A baptism that took place in Guatemala, near the town of Petén. Again, we were just willing and able to say, Lord, we see a need here in this village. Help us to go and fill that need. As we're building the church isn't finished yet. We're holding evangelistic meetings in that church. There's concrete everywhere. There's still not a floor, just dirt. And yet, what's happening? God's message is being proclaimed. People's lives are changing. And as the church is finished, they're having a baptismal appeal, and one by one, families are coming up to the front, and you're thinking like, wow, praise the Lord, this church is going to be filled in a matter of weeks. Amen. We went to South Africa to also help build a new church there. The ladies did not shy away from labor. They said, give me that pick, give me that shovel. By God's grace, we're going to build a new church. Amen. And they pitched in, and little by little, in 36 working days, this church was completed and dedicated, and is the best-looking building in that whole village. And I think every village should have the best-looking Adventist church. Amen? This was in Cambodia. We worked together with Adventist Frontier Missions to help build a new mission school there. And that was a fantastic opportunity to serve together there with them. Another church family in Mexico. This is after the evangelistic series. The church has been built, and the meetings came to an end. This was our last Sabbath there together before we departed. So what is my appeal to you as we finish? The example that we see of Jesus' life, of missions and of service, is something that we can do together to further the gospel, to finish the work that's here, to continue to evangelize the community that's here. As we establish a service-minded value system, as we seek to serve the needs of our community, we understand that more and more people will be drawn to Christ. I understand that you recently had a medical program here at your church, and people from the community came to be blessed. Amen? And Jesus will continue to guide you and show you how is it that you can begin to serve those around you, how you can reach out to your neighbors, what are the ways that you can connect with them personally, what are the ways that you can, you know, relate to them and draw them close to say, look, this is a time that we're living in that's, you know, very near to Jesus' return. We want to be ready. We want to know that the people around us are ready. We want to be able to share and say, this is what God has prepared. And we have that gift. We have that understanding. We have that knowledge. And so I want to encourage you to get involved, to find ways to minister to the people around you. Come with us on a mission project and see how the talents and skills that God has given you can further the gospel, can help other people, and I know that you'll be inspired. And as you come back from the mission field, you'll inspire the church here as well. And more can be done to hasten His return. As we sing our closing hymn, I want you to think about what is it that God has placed on your heart? What burden do you have for your community, for your friends, for your immediate circle of influence? And how can we do this work together?
Let's stand and sing our last closing hymn. He leadeth me, oh bless though, oh words with heavenly comfort front. Whatever I do, whatever I be, still 'tis God's hand that He leadeth me. Let's sing all four stanzas.
gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a loving and kind God, that you desire to lead us, and you desire to give us your Holy Spirit to know, to understand, to discern the way that you would have us to walk. Father, we pray that you would help us to use the talents that you've blessed us with to serve others, to share the gospel with those around us, that we would not hide our skills and talents, but we would use them to further the gospel. Father, I pray for this congregation that in a mighty way, Lord, you would bless each family that's represented here. You would bless those online that are watching and around the world. We pray, Father, that you would continue to give us wisdom and discernment to know the ways that you would have us to bring others to you. Father, we see the time is short, and we ask that you would give us that spiritual insight to see the opportunities before us, to see the divine appointments that you put in our path, and to not shy away, but to be bold, to be courageous, and to invite others to study your word, to be blessed as we have been blessed in reading and studying your word. Help us, Father, in this, we ask and we pray. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. You may be seated as we wait for the ushers to take you